Praise God. Praise God. So Pastor Andy kicked us off the start of this year with a series for the year called Magnify and Multiply. Magnify and Multiply. And we're sort of breaking it down into three sections, the magnify bit. So magnify, we're breaking it down into three mini series. We started off with how do we magnify the Lord? By worshiping. Remember, for 3 weeks we've been sharing, and one of the scriptures that we shared was from, from Psalm 34. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. We did that for 3 weeks. We spoke about worship. So today and for the next 4 weeks, so for 5 weeks, we're going to look at the Word. How do we magnify the Lord? Through the Word of God. And then we will also look at magnifying the Lord in society. That's going to be an interesting one. But today we're going to start with the Word. Isn't that a nice graphic, eh? Magnify and multiply. So today, here we go. We're going to start off with what is the Word of God. So first of all, Psalm 138. If you've got your Bible with you, turn to Psalm 138. Let's hear those pages turning. No? Okay. Never mind. It's going to go up on the screen. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Oh, you see what happens when media doesn't work. This is why we've got to bring our Bibles. Psalm 138. Is it not there? Can you get it up there quickly, Chris? Please, Chris. Verses 1 and 2. Sorry, maybe it was my instruction wasn't probably clear. So, Psalm 138, it's our foundation for today. That's why I want it up there. It's not just, there we go, that's great. Thank you. So, Psalm 138 says this: I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, little g, I will sing praises to you. Verse 2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple. Verse 2, can we have verse 2 up, please? Verse 2. It should be there because it's on 1 and 2. There we go. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Listen to this line. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You have magnified. This is the psalmist David who wrote the psalm. And I love the fact that he starts off and he says in verse 1, I will praise you with my whole heart. In other words, he's got an undivided heart. His heart for God is loyal. It's totally undivided. He has surrendered his heart to God. And the reason, what's the reason for that total surrender is in this line. Verse 2, his loving kindness and truth. That word for loving kindness is the Hebrew word hesed, which means covenant love. That I will praise you, Father, for your covenant love and your truth. Your truth, the truth of God's word. For you have God has magnified his word above his name. So God has magnified his word above his character. It's above his reputation, above his integrity. He's actually saying, you can judge me by my word. That's what he's saying. You can judge me by my word. He is fully committed to what he says, fully committed. What he's promised, he will do. So we're going to look at what is the Word of God. What is it exactly? So in the New Testament, we're going to look at two words in the New Testament to describe the Word of God. They are Greek words, two Greek words, and you've probably heard them. They are logos and rhema. Logos and rhema. We're going to just look at them today. We're going to break it down so we understand what the Word of God is and how He speaks to us through His Word. So first of all, John 1, verse 1. That's the scripture. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Can we get John chapter 1 up on the screen? In the beginning. In the beginning. I love the scripture. Okay, I'm taking too long to get to the scripture, but there it is. I promise you, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well-known scripture. We can probably, most of us can quote it. But in the beginning was the Word. The Greek word for word there, logos. Logos. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. So what's he talking about? This verse introduces us that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Logos. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, the Word that existed prior to creation. In the beginning was Jesus, was the Word, prior to creation. And the Word, the Logos, was with God. That Logos exists in connection to God. Jesus said in John 17, I and the Father are one. I'm in the Father and He's in me. The Logos is the Word that exists in connection to God. And the final part of that verse, and the Word was God. The Word was God. This Logos, Jesus is the Logos Word. He is God. Then we go on to verse 14. We drop down a couple of verses, John 1, verse 14. And this is powerful. And the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John continues explaining to us that Jesus is the Logos. He was in the beginning. He was before creation. He's connected to God. He is God. And then that Logos became human. He cohabited with people. This is who Jesus was. And he was, and he still does, possesses a glory that can only be described as the glory of God. That's the Logos. So, what does the word Logos actually mean? This isn't just a theory, okay? This isn't just theology. This is going to get really interesting, okay? Just stay with me. But Logos, the most common meaning of the word Logos is word or utterance or message. And so the word Logos, that's where we get the word logic, the English word logic, from. So Logos is the logic of God to mankind. Just think about it. Logos is the logic, the message of God to mankind. Jesus is the Word of God. Incarnate, flesh. Carna means flesh, in the flesh. Jesus in the flesh. That is what the Logos is. He is the embodiment. Jesus is the embodiment of God's message to humanity. Ah, blows your mind. So the Logos takes two forms. Jesus, the embodiment of God's message to humanity, and it's also Logos is the written Word of God. The written Word of God, the Bible. And we know that this Bible is made up of 66 books, all inspired by God, written by various authors over thousands of years. And it's so consistent. I love it. And this is the way, the primary way, we get to know God. We get to know His ways. We get to know His principles. We get to know His promises. You know, I think too often we have a God in our own image. We think, well, God's good, right? Yes, He is. So, and, you know, there's grace. So I can get away with stuff. No, God doesn't wink at sin. So we've got to learn the completeness of who God is. We can't just sort of make up a God in our likeness, how we think He should be. This is black and white ink, and some of it red. This is who God is. And so the primary way to know God and to hear from Him is through the Word of God. It's not going to come up. Oh, it is coming up on the screen, is it? Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8, here. God said these words to Joshua. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So in other words, this isn't just, it's not just a book to sit on the shelf to collect dust. No, what he's saying is, it shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, it's going to be on your lips. He says, you shall meditate in it day and night. When you meditate, it affects your mind. So it's going to be on your lips, it's going to be in your mind, and you're going to observe to do. You're going to do it. So God's word says, do X, Y, Z. Guess what? We're going to do it. No argument, no discussion, no sort of bartering. We're going to do it. So it's not just about reading it, but it's about meditating on it and doing it. And Psalm 119, we won't go there. You'll be glad to know. It's the longest psalm. It's 176 verses. But that psalm is dedicated to the Word of God. And I just think that's so profound, that the longest psalm, all those words, 176 verses, dedicated to the Word of God. And all throughout Psalm 119, we see the word meditate. Meditate. Sorry, he says, I will meditate. He uses various words. He'll use words like, I'll meditate on your precepts. I'll meditate on your statutes. I'll meditate on your word. So he also says, your law is my meditation all the day. Your testimonies are my meditation. So just reading the word, just reading it, like having a little tick box, I'm just going to read the Bible today just because I need to do it because I'm a Christian. That's not enough. But repeatedly, the Bible encourages us to meditate on the Word. Now, when we're talking about meditate, we're not talking Eastern religion. We're not going to go sit in a corner in some kind of a position and hum and empty our minds. That's not what biblical meditation is about. It's about filling your mind. It's not about emptying your mind. It's about filling your mind with the right stuff, with the Word of God. And the word meditate actually means to murmur, to mutter, to speak. That's what meditation is. So, and it can be likened to a cow chewing the cud. I love cows. I think they're amazing things. They're just wonderful. But the incredible thing is that cows eat grass or hay. I mean, it looks awful. Sometimes the grass looks nice. But actually, have you considered eating grass? And they're huge animals. They are really, really big. How do they get to that size from eating grass? It's just incredible. But the reason is that they have the correct mechanism to break down the fabric of that grass, and which will enable them to get all the right nutrients out of that dry grass. So in the way that that correct mechanism is that they have one stomach with four compartments. So we're having a little bit of a biology lesson. Is that okay? All cow biology. All right. So they have a stomach with four compartments. And one of these compartments is called the rumen. R-U-M-E-N. It's called a rumen. And when the grass goes into this rumen, what happens is that is where the food that is eaten is fermented. It's fermented, and energy is produced for the cow from that grass. And so, and then he regurgitates it. He belches. It's just rude. He belches, okay? He belches. And so what's actually happening when the cow is chewing that cud? He's taken that that grass from his rumen, and all the nutrients are now in his mouth. He belches it up. It's like a mini sick. Okay, just picture it. Okay, just stay with me. But this is called rumination. A cow chewing the cud is called rumination. So rumen is where we get the word ruminate. And in cow terms, it literally means to chew the cud. We aren't cows, okay? I'm aware of that. So, but in human terms, the meaning of ruminate is to go over in the mind repeatedly and often slowly and for a long period of time. To revolve, to turn over repeatedly in the mind, to meditate deeply upon. And that's what we're to do with the Word of God. That's what we're to do, to meditate on the Word of God, to ruminate on the Word of God, to draw out the nutrients in the Word of God, to draw it out. And the way that we do that, the way that we draw out the nutrients from the Word of God, is by speaking it. Meditate, murmur, speak, utter. Just as a cow has that inbuilt mechanism of the four-compartment stomach, we too can draw out the nutrients from the Word of God that we take in by a simple process called the tongue. The tongue is the turnstile to the heart. Who knows what a turnstile is? Who doesn't know what a turnstile? You don't know, the new younger people won't know what a turnstile is. When you go to London and you're passing through the tube, you're going through the tube station, you've got to actually hit your card onto a thing, and then the gates open and you can go through. That's in the old days, that didn't exist. You had a thing called a turnstile, and you could only go, it was like for crowd control. And so there was this metal thing that you had to push, and then you could take a step and you could push it further, and this little metal device would go around, and that's called a turnstile. Okay, you get it now. You know what a turnstile is. It's almost like zapping an Oyster card, if they still do Oyster cards, I don't know. But it's the same type of thing. But it's the same thing. Our tongue is the turnstile. It's that turnstile where we take the Word of God and we speak it like that cow belching out the cud. But the same thing happens to us. That's how we extract the nutrients from the Word of God, through speaking it out. So meditation, Chris, just talking about meditation in general, is the same principle as worrying. It's the same principle. You know, what are you meditating on? 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I don't know if anybody else is out there. What are you meditating on? Are you agreeing with God and his word or with the enemy? Who are you agreeing with? What are you meditating on? Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. I tell you what, this scripture has come alive to me over recent days. Whatever things are true. When you start meditating on something, first thing you do, is this true? Is this true? Has this really happened? You know, is this true? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, ruminate on these things. I like what the Amplified says there. Think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Meditate. Ruminate. The tongue is the turnstile to the heart. Colossians 3:16. Says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love that word dwell. The Greek word, here comes Greek word. Okay, ready for a Greek word? Enoikeo. Enoikeo. We learned about the Holy Spirit last year. What does the enoikeo mean? Influences us for good. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, influence you for good, richly, copiously, abundantly. I love this. Come on. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, enoikeo, influence you for good, richly in all wisdom. We're going to go to Psalm 19. And this morning when I was going over this, so much came alive. I just hope I get through the rest of my message. But Psalm 19 verses 7 to 11 says this, talking about the word of God, the word of God. He calls it various words, but he starts off, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, there's that scripture that says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. It's complete. There's nothing lacking in the word of God. It's whole. It's full of integrity. That's the word of the Lord is perfect, converting our soul. You know, there's another scripture in James that says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. You know, when at salvation, when we get born again, our spirit man is made alive. It was dead. It was separated from God. But man, our souls take a little while. They take a little while to catch up. Okay, but the word of God is the one, is the word. It's the word that restores our soul, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. In other words, it's faithful. It's established. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Sometimes you read the word and you think, oh my word, there's the answer. The word of God gives us wisdom. Wisdom. The Bible says, if any of us lacks wisdom, let us ask of God, he'd give liberally without finding fault. But the testimony of the Lord is sure, it's faithful, it's established. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. They are upright. They're sincere. And they rejoice the heart. You know, just rejoicing in the heart. The word of God rejoices your heart. But you've got to get the nutrients out. You can't just sit and say, okay, I'm going to read 10 verses now. Okay, bless me, Lord. No, it doesn't work like that. No, when you start reading the word, you get the nutrients out. Man, it does something on the inside of you. You want to do cartwheels, flip-flops, you name, I don't know what those things are called, but it rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's morally and ethically pure. The word of God is pure, enlightening the eyes. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Come on, if you don't know what to do, go read the word. You're looking for direction. Read the word. Not just read it. Meditate. Regurgitate. Chew the cud. Ruminate. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Man, there's so much stability in the word. It's reliable. You don't read the Bible today and tomorrow it's different. It's stable. It's sure and steadfast. And he goes on, he says, more to be desired are they than gold. Yes, much, much fine gold. Fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's what the word does. We used to sing a song that your word is like honey on my lips. What a beautiful song. Your word is like honey to my lips, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. And moreover, by them, by your word, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. There's great reward. Great reward. So, we've seen about Jesus, the Logos, incarnate in flesh, and we see the written word of God, and it's in the written word that we understand who God is, his character, his ways, the way he's interacted with people over thousands of years. Over thousands of years, and he continues to this day. Never once do we see God deceiving, lying, conniving, manipulating, cheating, being treacherous. That's not God's way. Instead, he encourages, he exhorts, he builds up, he warns. He does warn us. He does correct us. He does. If we have the right heart, he will correct us. But he's the same today as all throughout the Bible. From since eternity began, he's the same. He's faithful. He's consistent. He's good. He's righteous. He's upright. That's who my Father God is. That's who my God is. So we've got to learn to trust him. Learn to trust him. Learn his character. Learn about how to live. It's all here. It's all here. Every part of our lives. I love the word that Chris shared this morning about our giving. It's about worship. It's about how we live. It's about loving one another. It's about serving one another. It's the recipe. Everything is in the word of God. So the word, but it doesn't just bring information. It brings transformation. It brings transformation. Romans 12:2. It's not going to come up on the screen because you're going to turn for it. Turn to it in your Bible. Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we get born again, that's when our minds start to get renewed, but it doesn't happen. We're not given a spiritual lobotomy. We're not given a spiritual lobotomy. Thank you. That's brilliant. Do not be conformed, but be transformed, changed from the inside out. It's not a matter of do's and don'ts. It's not thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou should do this X, Y, Z. No. The word of God changes you from the inside out. But the only way it happens, it doesn't just happen automatically. We've got to spend time in the word of God. Here's a key. We're not doing it until we're doing it. That's key. We're not doing it. We can think we're doing it. We can tell ourselves we're doing it. We're not doing it until we're doing it. But reading the word, meditating on the word will change the way we think. Help us to understand who we are in Christ. Our ID, our identity of who we are in Christ. You know what? Maybe you were raised, and maybe this is a stumbling block in your life. Not all of us have had lovely, godly parents. Mine weren't got lovely, godly parents. They were quite hard and so forth. But maybe your parents, or maybe a teacher, or maybe somebody has said something horrible about you, stopped you in your tracks, said you're a waste of space. You know, your life is over. You're of no use. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie from the pit of hell. From the pit of hell. Because what does God say? What does God say? He says, before the foundation of the world, I knew you. Before the foundation of the world, I knew you. When you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I formed you. You're no mistake. You're no mistake. I've got good plans for you. I've got plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Come on. This is what the Word of God says, that the Bible's full of in Christ's. Who's try to memorize of who you are in Christ when the world comes and says, you're useless, you're a waste of space. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. This is who I am in Christ. Are you ready for it? Fasten your safety belts. Put your name in here, in His Word. I'm not making this up. This is the Bible. This is the Logos. This is the written Word. He says, I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am loved. I am adopted. I am accepted. I am chosen. I am forgiven. Not in my own merit. All of this is in Christ. But until I read it for myself, until I meditate on it, it's just going to be some mumbo jumbo out there. We've got to get the Word hidden in our heart. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. When the devil comes along and says, you messed up. You messed up. I'm forgiven. In Christ, I'm forgiven. God doesn't wink at my sin, but He gives me the instructions what to do when I mess up. Repent. Turn around. Change direction. Go the opposite way. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm forgiven. What else can I say? I'm redeemed. Redeemed from the curse of the law. I don't have to sit under the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt. I'm redeemed. I'm bought with the price, the blood of Jesus Christ. I am set free. I'm set free. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a sinner. Oh, I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed. Do I feel healed? No. I am healed in Jesus' name. I'm complete in Him. I'm complete in Him. I'm holy. I am without blame before Him in love. I am God's workmanship. You're God's workmanship. You're a joint heir with Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are justified, just as if you've never sinned. This is who you are, washed in the blood of Jesus. And who says so? The Word of God says so. Not Sandy, not Chris, not Andy Elms. The Bible says so. We've got to get it in us. We've got to get this Word of God in us. I can't stress it enough. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. But I'm not going to remain there. I'm not going to remain as a baby. Look, 1 Peter 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. The Word. The Word. Desire greatly long after the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. I don't know, see, we've got a few babies in the house. You know, when that baby wants to be fed, you can call it the sweetest little names under the sun. It's not going to listen. You can do what you like. When that baby's hungry, it lets you know. And it doesn't stop until you feed it. We need to be like that. We need to be like that. We need to start hungering for the Word of God. You know what? Maybe you've read the Word for an hour and you feel nothing. Well, I've read it for a waste of time. No. Go back, read it for another hour. Go back and read it for another hour. You don't know the good that it's doing to you. It's not all rah-rah stuff. Some of it is hard. Some of it is difficult. Some of it is challenging. But we need to grow up. We need to grow up. You know what? Just because I had breakfast last Friday, I don't remember what I had. But it did me good because it sustained me throughout the day. So the same for you, the same for me. In the morning, you wake up, get a scripture. Oh, thank you, Lord, that, like that scripture you gave this morning, Debbie, it was lovely, Psalm 100. Just start declaring God's word over your life. Your goodness, your mercy will follow me today. Thank you, Lord. Ruminate, meditate, start speaking it over your life. You might not feel its effect straight away, but it will sustain you. It will sustain you. Because I'm sorry to say this, maybe you're living in a lovely valley, verdant valley, full of lush vegetation. I'm sorry to say this, but in this world you will have trouble. So you better make sure you get the word in ahead of the game. Don't wait for the trials. Don't wait for the storms and then go, quickly, what did she say again? What was that scripture again? Get it in now. Get it in now. The more you read it, the more it filters. It's like a coffee filter. You know, those coffee filters. It gets into your soul. And that's how your transformation happens. That's how it starts. This is how transformation, renewing of the mind happens. Matthew 4:4. Can I carry on just 5 more minutes? I'll try. Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he said these words to Satan. It said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This word of God is like manna. This is your daily bread. This is manna from heaven. It will sustain you. It will nourish you. You know, the Logos, the written word, that word Logos appears 330 times in the New Testament. But it's available to us anytime, day or night. We can read the written word of God. We can go to Jesus, Logos, the incarnate word of God. The word became flesh. So anytime, day or night. But in the scripture of Matthew 4, that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That word, Greek word, is rhema. It's the rhema word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by a rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What is a rhema word? Spoken word. It's got the breath of God on it. It's got the breath of God. And Logos is good for our daily consumption. But there are times and there are seasons in our lives when we need a rhema word. When we need that word that jumps off the page. That's all the only way I can describe it. It jumps off. It's got the breath of God on. It's got the life of God. But, so I say we can go to the Logos anytime, day and night. The rhema word is less frequent. I don't get a rhema word every time I read the Bible. I don't. If you do, come pray for all of us, okay? Because you're super. But the rhema word I find is normally specific to a season in my life, but both are important. It's not a matter of either or, but both. We need a rhema word and we need a logos. Okay. Timothy says, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. all of it. Whether it's a rhema, whether it's a logos, it's God-breathed, and it's useful, it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting. There's a correction. When I'm doing things, I'm going about things the wrong way, the scripture will take me back. He corrects me through the word of God. And training in righteousness. We're being trained. We're being trained by the word of God. So it's important for us to remember, we don't approach the word of God with unbelief. Okay, with unbelief. Keep an open, teachable heart, because the Bible says it's useful for teaching. It's okay if you've got doubts. Just doubt your doubts. But as far as approaching the word, we don't approach the word of God with unbelief and trying to discredit the word of God. That's not the way to do it. But we keep an open, teachable heart before God. And we're not in a position to either even judge the word of God. We're not in that position. And here's another thing. We don't judge the word of God by our life experiences. We judge our life experiences by the word of God. It's so key. I'm telling you, this will change your life. This will change your life. It's so important. You can't say, well, this X, Y, Z has happened in my life, therefore, you know, God's word doesn't work. No. You judge your life by the word of God. My life isn't going the way it should be, but Lord, what do you want to say to me? Am I doing something wrong? Teach me your ways. Show me. Lead me in level paths. That's the way God does it. So the word is profitable. An example of a rhema word, like how do I explain what a rhema word is, I think comes from Luke 1:38. When Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce that she was going to become the mother of the Messiah. And Mary says to Gabriel, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." I think a 13, 14-year-old virgin girl needed a rhema word to carry her through. And it's the same. That is a rhema word. She needed that rhema word. I've got lots more to say, but I'm not going to say it. But I am going to end. I want us to take this seriously. I really do. And so I want us to allow the word of God to become flesh in our own hearts. And, you know, I can spend hours preparing a word every Sunday. And we could sit under the word and think, okay, I'll come away encouraged, or maybe not, I don't know. But the key thing is that we're not doing it until we're doing it. So I'm going to challenge you on two things. And I want you to go away and think about this, okay? Number one, when it comes to meditation, I want you to think about what you're thinking about. Stop yourself at times. Stop yourself. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe you've gone into a meeting, you've had a bit of a with a colleague, they've annoyed you. Stop. Pause. Think about, what am I thinking about? Is it true? Is it pure? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it right? If it's not, change the way you're thinking. We've got the word of God. We've got the word of God. So we've got to think about what we're thinking about. What are we ruminating on? What are we meditating on? And then I want to dig in. You've seen here a couple of books lying here. And you think, what on earth is that all about? These are some of my books that I've written notes in. And they go back to 1997 when I started writing notes. In fact, it happened prior to that, but that's as far back as I've got my books out. Some of these words go back to 1997. I picked this book up yesterday and I just started flicking through it. And it started speaking to me. These were words given to us. These were scriptures given to us. I write down longhand. This is just the way I do things. But I want to encourage you, church, make notes. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you can remember what's being taught in church week after week if you're not making notes. I can't emphasize it enough. This week, this very week, I can't remember which book it's in. It's in one of these. This is from 1997 to 2025. Not all of them, just some of them. And Pastor Chris and I were sitting talking, and what he was sharing, I thought, hang on a sec. We were kind of going around in circles a little bit and couldn't quite get to the, what's the outcome? What do we do in this instance? And while we're talking, boop, something popped up in my mind. And I thought, I remember June 2024. I was sitting in Empower Center, Portsmouth. Pastor Andy Elms was sharing a word, and I'd written it down. It was just another one of those meetings where I wrote things down. I went to the book. I found the day. I mean, it doesn't always happen like this. I don't always know the day and the time. But I went to this book, and the exact thing that we had need of was written down. All I could remember at that time was I'd heard a message about this, and I knew who it was who'd given it, and I knew more or less when it was, and I went back to that book. I can go back to any one of these books going back 30 years, and God can still speak to me through a message that was preached on another continent. I want to encourage you, make notes. Make notes. Take, even if you're not good at it, doesn't matter. Take what's relevant to you. Even if you just write down the scripture reference, go home, read it, meditate on it. Meditate on it. It'll help you. The Holy Spirit will bring things to our remembrance, but we've got to give him something to work with. It's all very well saying, God will bring it to my remembrance, but you've got to give him something to work with. Okay? Is that okay? Okay, cool. I'll end there. God, we love your word. Father, we love your word. Lord, help us to fall more and more in love with you through your word. Father, we don't want to make up some God in our own image. We want to know you for who you are, for the truth of who you are. Help us, Lord, remind us, Lord, of being aware, being mindful of what we are meditating on. Show us, Lord, give us keys how to meditate on your word. Show us, Lord, each person individually has their own way. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would reveal keys to our people, Lord, that will know this is the best way for me. This is what I should do. I thank you, Lord, that you are so detailed. You are so specific for every single person. And so we give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord, for the harvest that is going to be happening in our lives as our minds are renewed, as our lives are transformed, as our soul is restored, as we meditate on your word day and night. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God.